Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, the 2nd of February, we look at the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 2 years since the Pope's apostolic journey to the Central African nation, and we hear from one of the jurors of the Zayed Prize for Human Fraternity. But first, Pope Francis prays for peace worldwide and for the rights of all children, especially those in conflict zones. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. At the conclusion of the recitation of the Angelus Prayer on Sunday, Pope Francis once again renewed his appeal for peace in the world. The Pope's plea comes on the eve of a summit to be hosted by the Vatican on Monday the 3rd of February on children's rights. On the theme, Let Us Love Them and Protect Them, the meeting will bring together advocates for the rights of children from all over the globe. The summit and the Pope's appeal for peace come at a time in which humanitarian crises are plaguing all corners of the globe. In particular, the Pope's appeal on Sunday called for an end to the suffering caused by conflict in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan, and North Kivu in the Democratic Republic of Congo, all in desperate need of peace. The Pope's words regarding the DRC serve as a reminder of the violence the country has faced for decades. In most recent updates, the United Nations says at least 700 people have been killed in fighting in Goma in eastern DRC. Nathan Morley reports.
According to the UN spokesman Stéphane Dujarric, 2,800 people have been injured as M23 rebels, backed by Rwanda, seized the capital of North Kivu province. The UN spokesman warned the death toll would rise further, adding the casualty figures came from an assessment made by the World Health Organization and its partners. The conflict in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo stretches back to the 1990s, but has rapidly escalated since the beginning of this year. M23, which is made up of ethnic Tutsis, insist they're fighting for minority rights, while the DR Congo's government says the Rwanda-backed rebels are attempting to control the region's mineral wealth. The humanitarian crisis in the country continues to deepen for civilians likely trapped by the intense fighting. According to the UN World Food Programme, WFP, the situation is going from desperate to disastrous as people run out of food and other supplies. Critical UN aid workers and partners remain on the ground in the eastern DR Congo, but the situation remains deeply unstable since the rebel group took control of most of Goma since entering the city on Monday. Warehouses containing food in Goma have been looted and aid teams have been confronted with supply chain obstacles because roads and ports remain blocked or closed. According to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, there's been no major movement of people at the DRC's borders because of the latest escalation. Rwanda has confirmed 577 new arrivals, whilst Uganda, Burundi and Tanzania have yet to report a spike in crossings. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
2 years ago, from the 31st of January to the 3rd of February 2023, Pope Francis visited the Democratic Republic of Congo, becoming the first pope to do so in 38 years. On this occasion, the pope denounced the economic colonialism that fuels the cycle of bloodshed, and he urged the world not to ignore the suffering of the people of the DRC. In an interview with Vatican Radio, Consolata missionary Brother Adolphe Mulengezi describes a situation in the DRC 2 years on from Pope Francis's visit.
We thought maybe the visit of Holy Father in Congo could change something. But just a few months later, now the situation has become even worse. So we have nowhere to go and nowhere to seek for help. And these are innocent people, 30 years, so they all started in Congo when I was 5 years. So I grew up seeing war up to now. We are not living like a human people. We do talk about dignity of life, but there isn't. In Congo, you can't tell me about dignity of life, and I have never really enjoyed being a human being in this country that is really overwhelmed with blood everywhere. So we are tired of this. We are seeking help from also the international community to intervene on this matter. And the message of the Bishop of Goma was also to intervene also to exhort also people of goodwill who could also assist our brothers and sisters who are running day and night. They have no hope. They have nowhere to go. And also the bomb that they are killing also innocent people. On Monday 27, and that was written on the letter of the Bishop Willie Goma, there are bombs that really killed innocent people in our hospital. So it's something that we cannot really continue watching, because it's more than a drama movie. This has become really a genocide that we cannot even continue repeating. We have to stop war. We have to let Goma, let Congo breathe and live like any other nation, because we have right to live. We have right to life as well, like any other nation.
That was Consolata missionary Brother Adolphe Mulengezi reflecting on the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 2 years on from Pope Francis's visit to the war-torn nation. Every year, the Zayed Prize for Human Fraternity is awarded to individuals or groups from anywhere in the world who work selflessly and tirelessly to bridge divides and create real human connection. This year's prize will be awarded on Tuesday, the 4th of February, at a ceremony in Abu Dhabi. The winners have been selected by an independent jury, among whose members is Patricia Scotland, Secretary-General of the Commonwealth of Nations. She spoke to Joseph Tulloch on the sidelines of a press conference in Abu Dhabi.
As you know, the Commonwealth represents 56 countries. That's about 2.7 billion people, 60% of whom are under the age of 30. And we have a real emphasis on values. So we are bound by a charter. And if you look at the charter, that very much reflects the Zayed Award values as well, in terms of humanity, the issues which are going to enable our world to be sustainable. So it was a great honour to be able to participate in this award as we sought to find exemplars who really demonstrates human fraternity, the equality and the inclusivity that should be there in terms of how we can support each other to make sure that the world thrives and the people within it really benefit.
This is a prize where the Vatican is also represented, and you're a Catholic yourself, I believe.
Yes.
What role did your faith play in this?
Well, my faith was incredibly important to me, not only because, of course, one of the first recipients of this award was His Holiness and the Grand Imam. And that fact that those two holy men came together for humanity to underscore the importance of love in our world, love for each other, understanding, respect, to go beyond mere tolerance. This isn't about tolerating, it's about understanding that we are one family. His Holiness has always made it clear that you love every single person on the earth, irrespective of the faith they have, the colour or the shape they come in. It's their humanity which really echoes in our hearts.
That was Patricia Scotland, Secretary-General of the Commonwealth of Nations, speaking to Joseph Tulloch in Abu Dhabi ahead of the award ceremony for the Zayed Prize for Human Fraternity. The Church on Sunday celebrates the World Day for Consecrated Life, held yearly on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Pope Francis marked the annual event on Saturday, on the eve of the day, with First Vespers in St. Peter's Basilica, urging religious men and women to encounter one another and the Lord in the Eucharist. Devon Watkins has more.
This year, the Church celebrates the 29th World Day for Consecrated Life, which takes place annually on the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. Ahead of the celebration, Pope Francis prayed First Vespers with thousands of consecrated men and women in St. Peter's Basilica on Saturday evening. In his homily, the Pope noted that this year's event is held during the Jubilee of Hope and in preparation for the Jubilee of Consecrated Life, which will be celebrated on October 8th to 12th. He focused his reflections on the three evangelical counsels: poverty, chastity, and obedience.
Povertà, castità, e obbedienza.
Evangelical poverty, said the Pope, frees religious from attachment to worldly things so that they may become a blessing for others. The Pope praised consecrated religious for bearing the light of your chastity, which finds its origin in the Trinity and the love between the three divine persons. Religious, said Pope Francis, become a reflection of God's love in their desire to accept and respect everyone without coercion. Pope Francis then spoke about the example of obedience that consecrated people embody in their deep sense of responsibility animated by mutual trust. When lived in the light of God's word, he said, obedience becomes a response to love and a prophetic sign for society.
Il ritorno alle origini.
In conclusion, Pope Francis invited consecrated men and women to return to the origins and find renewal in the Eucharist. In prayer and self-oblation, he said, let us repeat with our founders, see, I have come to do your will, O God. I'm Devin Watkins.
And finally, Pope Francis on Sunday reflected on the presentation of the Lord in the temple, which he said serves as a reminder that Jesus is for the salvation of all peoples and invites us to truly seek the encounter with God. Linda Bordoni reports.
Greeting pilgrims gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Sunday Angelus, Pope Francis reflected on the feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple.
Oggi il Vangelo della liturgia ci parla di Maria e Giuseppe.
Taking his cue from the Gospel of Luke, he drew attention to the prophetic words of Simeon and Anna, who proclaimed that the long-awaited redemption of Jerusalem had arrived. Their recognition of Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promise, the Pope explained, highlights the radical newness of this moment. God is present among his people, not because he dwells within four walls, but because he lives as a man among men. Mary and Joseph, he continued, listeners, Simeon identifies Jesus with three significant words: salvation, light, and a sign of contradiction.
Gesù è la salvezza. Gesù è la luce e Gesù è il segno di contraddizione.
First, the Pope said, Jesus is salvation, an awe-inspiring truth that emphasizes how God's redemptive love is fully embodied in one person. Second, Jesus is light. He illuminates the world, much like the rising sun, dispelling the darkness of suffering, evil and death. Finally, Jesus is a sign of contradiction, revealing the deeper truths of human hearts. Through him, history is judged by one criterion, that of love. Concluding, Pope Francis encouraged the faithful to examine their own spiritual expectations and ask themselves, what am I waiting for in my life? Am I waiting for the manifestation of his plan of salvation for humanity?
Aspetto la manifestazione del suo disegno.
Let's all pray together to Mary, he said, that she may accompany us through the lights and shadows of history on our journey to the Lord. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And you can also catch any updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Many thanks this evening go to Alberto Giovannetti, our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.